This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 14th, 2016. Shoot in for questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll turn next to agenda item 4, which is the consideration of draft final rule and explanation and justification for technical amendments to 2015 CFR. We have Eugene Lynch from the Office of General Counsel here to give a presentation. And when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson, and good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document numbers 1612-A and 1612-B contain proposed technical and conforming changes to the Code of Federal Regulations. If approved, the Federal Register can introduce the technical changes to the ECFR within days and to the next yearly edition of the printed CFR. The only difference between the two agenda documents is a proposed technical change which would clarify that the independent expenditure reporting requirements in 11 CFR sections 104.4B1 and B2 for political committees making independent expenditures, and 109.10C for persons who are not political committees making $10,000 or more in IEs in a calendar year, apply in any calendar year and not just in an election year. This proposed change is found in agenda document number 1612-A and is omitted from 1612-B. Otherwise, both documents are identical. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your presentation. Do we have any questions or comments on the drafts that we're considering? Commissioner Goodman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have draft before us, draft A and draft B. The difference between draft A and draft B are subsections C and G of draft A. And The two sections caused me some concern in draft A because item C involves edits to 11 CFR 104.4 and item G involves edits to 11 CFR 109.10. And they implement what was probably a clearer statute than our regulation, 52 USC 30104G. And my starting point with these was never a substantive problem with the change. And in fact, I think the change is needed, and I agree that the change needs to be made to clarify an issue that has caused confusion not only in the regulated community but also within the agency. There have apparently been some interpretations given out by this agency to people who have called the agency to ask for clarification based on this word, the calendar year, suggesting that it was only in the election year that this report was due. And so I agree that the statute requires the reporting as counsel just advised, in every calendar year. I believe you used the word any calendar year, as opposed to the calendar year, which is an election year. I believe we're all in agreement that the change needs to be made. Really, my concern was the integrity of the process we use and whether we put this into an exception to notice and comment rulemaking or whether we treat this purely as a technical amendment. Now, we know that changing the word the to a has profound substantive differences in other contexts. For example, political committee status. Okay, so merely saying, well, this is merely changing an article from the to a may overstate the technical aspect of changing the words. But probably more fundamentally my concern was when I pulled out the regulation and I read the change from the to a, I wasn't convinced that it fully resolved the question substantively. I thought, well, because the problem didn't necessarily arise from the word the problem arose from a combination of the year and the language that came later that said up to the 20th day before the election. And it was the combination of those two phrases with the word the that suggested you only had to report these aggregate IEs in the election year. So I wasn't convinced that changing just the word from the to a solved this ambiguity once and for all. And so for all those reasons, I just thought, you know, the better way to do this would be to change the language more substantively, make it crystal clear. And the problem is the more language you add to try to really clarify this issue, the more substantive it starts to look. I appreciate the general counsel's effort to do this surgically and try to clarify this with sort of like the old song, name that the TV show, Name That Tune. I can name that tune in one note to try to change this policy with one article from the to a. And so I don't mean to make a mountain out of a molehill, but I just thought that this is probably one of those areas that would benefit from greater clarification, more language to resolve it. Now, mind you, our agency has given substantive advice and told people already that given the ambiguity or given the language of the current reg, there is only a reporting requirement in the election year. So this isn't just a substantive concern that people out there have misinterpreted. Inside the building, we've had some substantive ambiguity and problem with this. So when I looked at it, I thought that the broader language would really resolve this. So I would go into 104.4B1, for example, and I would explicate that with language like this: political committees shall aggregate their independent expenditures made in each calendar year. In other words, I'm changing the article not from the to a, but to each. And the presentation we just got from counsel used the article any to clarify this. So the presentation we just got doesn't even comport with the word a, which leaves the ambiguity in my mind. So I would say political committees shall aggregate their independent expenditures made in each calendar year on a per-election basis to determine their reporting obligation. When a committee spends less than $10,000 on an election in any calendar year, up to and including the 20th day before the election, they must report those independent expenditures on Schedule E of FEC Form 3X filed at the time of their regular reports in accordance with 11 CFR. My point is, let's if we've got the ambiguity and the agency has contributed to misunderstanding out there, let's fix it the right way. And the more we do, the more it looks like it requires notice and comment rulemaking. That's all. So I intend to vote against draft A here today. I will be happy to move draft B with an addendum here at the table today to direct Office of General Counsel to draft an NPRM, which I intend to support when it comes back, consistent with this type of change. And also, I think the public will benefit from notice and comment rulemaking, not because there may be substantive disagreements with the change, but so that through a notice and comment, we can find out if it does resolve the clarity problem or the ambiguity for everybody. And so that it really is a matter of process only. It's not a substantive disagreement. So that's my position on why I insisted that we proceed with draft B.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this really is making a mountain out of a molehill. If you wanted to change the word from A or the to each, it's the first that I'm hearing of it here at the table today. I think that also could have been a technical correction.
Well, there's more words. By the way, I think, Mr. the counsel, the language I just read is more elaborate than just the word each. Those would be new sentences that I read that would add crystal clear clarity to the entire reporting regime. By the way, when you read the statute
let me finish before you interrupt.
Well, you mischaracterized what I said, so I wanted to clarify at that point.
as I said, first we're hearing of it today that's your concern. The notion that something that has absolutely no possibility of a different substantive interpretation under the statute requires notice and public comment, I think, is debatable at best. You know, we're trying to do something simple and straightforward here. I actually thought up until you started talking today that you actually did have a substantive problem with this and that you were trying to encourage people not to report in the election year. So, as I said, it would have been, I think, beneficial to all of us if you had conveyed your concern there. To me, this is a completely straightforward technical change. I'm happy to support draft A. If draft A fails, I would support draft B as is in order to resolve the other technical corrections. I'm not sure that I'm prepared to support starting a whole rulemaking over this issue, which, again, I think is completely technical and indisputable under the statute. It's explained clearly in the E&J. You say people have given out different information. That's not what I heard. I heard that the staff was pretty uniform in their interpretation of how this works under the statute. So I think, you know, we're creating confusion rather than resolving it.
Commissioner Ravel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in agreement with Commissioner Weintraub, and I would say that, you know, the interpretation that we have here is truly consistent with the Commission's interpretation of these provisions for at least 10 years. And yes, apparently there was one occasion that there was some different advice given by the FEC. But however, you know, I'm sure if we went through every single rule, we would find some employee who said something that might not be exactly what is consistent with the rule. So that is not sufficient to engage in a rulemaking. And frankly, it's not just the statute. When we promulgated the regulation, they specifically said in the ENJ that the reporting requirement applies to IEs made by a political committee at any time and any point in the campaign. So the issue about calendar year or whatever has only to do with the aggregation of the costs of the IEs for the purpose of triggering the reporting obligations, not when it has to have the IE reporting provisions altogether. I think this is just a way of providing clarity to the public, which is what we're here for. And frankly, if we were to do draft B, I myself agree with Commissioner Weintraub. I would not support a rulemaking. I think it's more confusing to the public than clarity to the public in this instance. And as you know, I am generally all in favor of having the public weigh in on issues. But look, this is something that is so petty, and we want to encourage our staff to come before us and bring us things that can streamline the work and in a way that's much more thoughtful. And this is consistent with everything we've always done. So it does seem that it would be creating more disagreement and more misunderstanding than is necessary.
I don't want to answer the question here publicly. Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
No, I agree. It's clarity, but it's clarity over a substantive point that there has been some confusion within the agency as well as outside. So, because it goes to the clarity of a substantive ambiguity, and that I think we could fix it better. I just thought we ought to go ahead and fix it better. And when I read the A versus the, it didn't necessarily resolve the problem. And the ENJ still uses the word the in the ENJ. It's still, so now you're going to have A in a reg with the in the ENJ. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what the, you know, well, you've explained, but I'm not averse to doing this through the NPRM process to allow people to say, yep, that clarifies it for me. That clarifies that substantive ambiguity for me.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
I was just wondering if our general counsel has any comment on what their preference is. difference as between draft A or B?
Well, taking into consideration Commissioner Goodman's thoughts on how to approach it, give the clarity once and for all. I'm not uptight about doing it that way, except for the additional time and effort that it takes to go with it. But
so we
I'm interested to get your thoughts on that.
So we've provided guidance as to our views on whether notice and comment are required for those changes, and we provide those to commissioners who have requested them, and we can provide it to other commissioners, any who are interested. I would say, though, without getting into the details of the advice that we provided privately, as a general matter, there is nothing that stops the agency from engaging in notice and comment, even if it's not required. So, assuming for the sake of argument that notice and comment were not required, the commission could still go through the notice and comment procedure if it chose to, for those two changes.
Oh, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Well, I sense a deadlock coming on, so maybe we do want to take a break. You were talking about
that. Let's take a brief recess.
Yes, I believe Commissioner Hunter has a way forward that may take a little more time, but before we conclude the discussion, I just wanted to clarify a couple points that were made here today. The first is that, Commissioner Weintraub, you said you didn't know my concerns. I refer you to a December 18, 2015 email from Mike Colombo of my office to all commissioners' offices, where I raised the issue. The second concern, and I'm reading from the email, is whether the new language sufficiently resolves that ambiguity. So I made clear I just wasn't sure that the to A resolved the ambiguity.
I was referring to the language that you were proposing here today.
I've been working on it, and then this was put on the agenda, and so this was my time to bring it to the fore. I also want to raise the issue of whether there's been a misunderstanding in the agency. Internal in the info division, they answer a lot of compliance questions to people when they call. Their internal interpretation of this regulation states, and so this is the advice they give to people from this statement iteration of the regulation, any person making IEs totaling 10,000 or more with respect to a given election during the calendar year in which the election takes place must file a report with the FEC within 48 hours. And so my point is we have probably been systematically giving different substantive advice in this field. Now, I want to fix the substantive problem. The question is how. And there are two parts to my concern. I'll summarize. One is whether this is purely technical or substantive. We may be able to get over that hump. The second is substantively. Let's adopt the language that really resolves this once and for all. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. And we may be able to accomplish that goal with some language that's more clarifying and maybe perhaps is still considered a technical amendment. And so Lee has graciously offered to provide, his language to us in a written form. We can take a look at it. We can ask OGC if they think it is, in fact, technical and conforming. They said, just sort of briefly, that just because there's a few extra words doesn't mean that it's not technical and conforming. So we'll take a look at it, and if we could take this up again at the next meeting, Mr. Chair.
We'll do so. Are there any further
Sounds
comments?
Good. Thank you.
Let's hope we can wrap that up and get through this as efficiently as possible. But appreciate the discussion here and the comments that have been made.